The AccuWeather forecast, cloudy, very windy today, high in the low 50s. Southern Wisconsin remaining under a high wind warning all day today and into tonight. Sustained winds 30 to 40 miles per hour and gusts of 50 to 60 miles per hour this afternoon. President Obama is nominating federal court judge Merrick Garland to replace the late Antonin Scalia on the U.S. Supreme Court.
I've selected a nominee who is widely recognized not only as one of America's sharpest legal minds, but someone who brings to his work a spirit of decency, modesty, integrity, even-handedness, and excellence.
The 63-year-old Garland, a longtime appellate judge, a former prosecutor. Senate Republicans, of course, have vowed to block any nomination by the president, saying that the next president should fill that vacancy. In Madison, the state senate approves changes to Wisconsin's election laws that, for the most part, will not be in place for the April 5th election. Democratic Senator Julie Lassa says it's only going to drive local officials crazy in having to deal with the public.
The municipal clerks that I've talked to when I go to my towns associations and travel around my district and do my office hours is what was really driving them crazy about the GAB is when they made sudden rule changes right before an election or day of the election.
Republican Devin LeMahieu noting most of the provisions will be phased in later, but quick action was needed on a provision that would allow veterans' ID cards to be used this time around.
So it's important to get this bill signed and into law so that there aren't political points made by some other people about that issue. So we want to make sure that that's in place and to make sure that our veterans can use their IDs to go vote.
The veterans' ID card issue came up in the primary involving the father of a Wisconsin Supreme Court justice being denied use of his photo ID card based on previously approved state law. Well, there's now more than just a faint ray of hope for resurrecting a proposed CVS pharmacy at Washington Avenue and Ohio Street in Racine on the city's west side. A 7-6 common council vote last night rescinds a zoning denial from last year. Alderman Jim Kaplan kept pushing for reconsideration. Council President Dennis Weiser said this will hurt that immediate neighborhood.
In the first round of discussions on moving CVS to this site, individuals that had houses on the market found themselves suddenly unable to sell the houses. As a city, we should not be in the business of stripping equity from the homeowners in our community. We have to look after the businesses. We also have to look after the homeowners, and that's why we have zoning and a comprehensive city plan. Mixing oil and water is not always a good idea.
One opposing property owner having sold that site factored into City Attorney Scott Letney suggesting deferral, another public hearing, and then finding out if CVS is even still interested in that corner. And city officials in Milwaukee are going to be receiving designs from the Bucks for their new downtown arena tomorrow. Meanwhile, work has already started on a nearly $4 million related sewer project by the State Department of Transportation. The arena is expected to be ready for the 2018-19 NBA season. Work is finally underway on site preparation in Racine for the multifaceted machinery row project along the Root River Corridor. Its demolition of a large former J.I. Case Company building, all of it coming as the Common Council approves needed rezoning. The work includes removing asbestos panels from the outside of the structure, and that's specialized work. Plans by Iowa developer Rodney Blackwell call for removing about 60,000 square feet of a 500,000 square foot building and then creating residential, commercial, and retail space with what's left. Habitat for Humanity is in the planning stages of building a second home in Mount Pleasant's Lake Park neighborhood. Their request for a conditional use permit, the subject of a public hearing last night. Village Development Director Logan Martin said because the neighborhood is zoned as a conservation holding district, the project requires the additional permit. He said, though, it's not going to be the last one planned in that area.
And we're working with Habitat to locate other lots or opportunities in that neighborhood. So potentially in the future, there'll be a couple more of these coming through.
Leanne Lohnstein, the executive director for Habitat, said they're excited about this new project in that area.
We can see a lot of great things happening there. Of course, the cop house and the playground, and we're going to be working on our second house, I hope. And it won't stop there because we know that there are other projects that are in the vicinity that are just screaming out for our help, too.
A 1.5-story home is planned for the current vacant lot between the COP house and the first Habitat home, also built in the 2200 block of Mead Street. The Village Plan Commission is voting on the conditional use permit request this afternoon at their meeting. The Sunday night fire that heavily damaged a Kenosha home at 1811 57th Street may have been started with some illegal conduct by the person pulled out of that burning two-story building through a window by some neighbors. Police and fire department investigators have been working the case, and Police Chief John Morrissey tells the Kenosha News it appears the 63-year-old occupant was smoking, but also possibly engaged in the huffing of some kind of a product that creates fumes, which are flammable. That fire response kept city crews busy most of Sunday night. Flight for Life was requested by Racine Fire Department paramedics last night for a motorcyclist not wearing a helmet injured in a collision with a utility pole at Kinsey Avenue and Chicago Street. The victim was first transported to Wheaton Franciscan All Saints Emergency. Details of what happened still under investigation. A new $20 million science and nursing building is being planned by Carroll University, where officials say the nursing program is outgrowing its current space. The new facility will replace Lowry Hall, and it will connect to a science building already under construction. School officials expect to have it done by December of next year. On the heels of last year's art versus waste debate about a used tire as a flower planter, the Racine Common Council supports a Public Works Committee recommendation to amend the city's waste ordinance and allow an appeals process on the reuse of a tire and other so-called waste products through the DPW commissioner, the committee, and ultimately, if needed, the council. The only comments about the subject were from Alicia Vila. She planted that tire outside of her State Street building. It touched off a firestorm of reaction.
On behalf of all those who are pro-green and who desire to have a better environment for future generations to come, I personally want to thank and admire those who have made good sense and sound judgment with this practical matter of a tire art and other art where solid waste is being refurbished in some way, shape, or form.
Amending the solid waste ordinance to allow the reuse of those items, well, it's just one step in the process, according to city officials. Yet to come, reuse of items in commercial areas and locations with conditional use permits. And the recent passing of Kenosha County Judge Michael Wilk earlier this month, it leaves a void that Governor Scott Walker is going to have to fill until the next election for that seat. So applications are now being accepted. Judge Wilk died March the 3rd after a short illness. The applications, including a resume, will be accepted at the governor's office until 5 p.m. Thursday, March 31st. Whoever is appointed by the governor will also have a chance to formally run for that job in the April 2017 election. Racine County Judge Michael Piontek ordering 28-year-old Marcus Johnson to pay just over $4,000 total toward the burial cost and related expenses for the family of 3-year-old Hunter Wise. His death 3 years ago is the reason Johnson is behind prison bars for 10 years. Court records show just over $2,000 of that total is to cover the bill for a local funeral home. The other $2,000 is going to the Wisconsin Crime Victims Compensation Fund. It helps violent crime victims' families with things like funeral expenses, medical bills, and mental health counseling. Johnson taking care of the boy for his mother at the time the child was burned by scalding bathwater. The restitution is going to be deducted from the small income that Johnson makes as a prison inmate. A 16-year-old West Allis High School student is facing charges for a pair of bomb threats that were made against the school last week. That student charged as a juvenile with two felonies for the threats on March the 7th and 8th. The teen has not been charged with a third bomb threat last week for which no suspect has yet been identified. Roads in Wisconsin, they are not the nation's third worst, that according to the State Department of Transportation, which strongly disputes a claim made recently in a report by the American Society of Civil Engineers.
You know, people here were obviously concerned, and doing some more digging and investigating into just what data they were using, how they were coming to that conclusion, because quite honestly, we measure pavement conditions quarterly, and our data just didn't reflect that result.
That's the DOT's Patty Mayers, who says that while the disputed report claims 71% of state roads in mediocre or worse condition, their analysis of the roughness data from just recently had it being 32%. The Wisconsin Senate votes 31-1 for a bill to relax the state's sulfur dioxide emission regulations and to rework the obligations of utilities to pay into the state's renewable energy program. Senate did not take up Lydia's Law, a proposal name for a young Burlington girl who died. It would have eliminated the prescription requirement for CBD oil, which has proven effective in helping children with seizures. And heading to the governor's desk, the so-called locker room bill creating enhanced penalties for invasion of privacy with adults and children. The measure prompted by a criminal case involving multiple video recordings of women and kids from the locker room at Pleasant Prairie's Recplex. Kenosha's Police and Fire Commission this week formally voting to have Deputy Police Chief Daniel Muskinis take over April 20th from retiring Chief John Morrissey. While in Racine Friday afternoon, there's a Police and Fire Commission meeting to discuss extending the term of Police Chief Art Howell. It was 4 years ago this weekend that Howell was named the chief after a longer-than-expected nationwide search. The now 53-year-old Howell, succeeding Kurt Wallen, who had retired, come back to be the interim chief, and then later he became the administrator in the village of Mount Pleasant. Friday's meeting is a closed-door affair, but the end result could be reported afterward in open session. Folks in the Village of Caledonia, you're going to be getting your new recycling carts beginning March the 28th.
John's Disposal Service will deliver the carts at residences on the day of their regular recycling collection. There will also be an information packet with the cart containing instructions for the new carts and general information about the automated recycling program. Caledonia residents will be required to begin using the carts April 11th. They can keep their old recycling bins for personal use or recycle them with the new carts. Collection days will remain the same for most village residents. If it doesn't, special instructions will be included with the carts. Janet Hoff, AM 1400, WRJN News.
The public invited to a free workshop on genealogy and wills, probates, estates, and guardian records and other old family papers tonight, 7 to 9 o'clock, room 100 at the Gateway Building on McKenna Parkway in Burlington. That's just past the high school. The workshop to provide ideas on where and how to find these types of documents on the internet, in databases, in archives, and at repositories. They can provide things like married names of grown children, legal land descriptions of where relatives lived, even their signatures. For more information, call 262-634-8815. And Wisconsin's League of Women Voters urging the governor to scuttle the plan that would allow voters to register online. They say the bad outweighs the good on this one. New measure would allow online registrations, but limit the opportunity to only those with a Wisconsin driver's license, and it would trim a few days off the deadline for absentee balloting. Our AccuWeather forecast coming up. I'm Tom Karkle, WRJN News.